In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. I just want to recap yesterday. Are you not more important than the wildflowers? Are you not more important than the birds? That if one bird falls to the earth, that your Heavenly Father knows it. Are you not more important? You see, I don't feel important today. Well, the Lord Jesus gave his life for you. You are far more important than a flock of birds, far more important than roses, far more important than the ocean, because Jesus gave his life for you. How we need to incorporate that into our heart, that we are important because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with us, but because of Jesus. Today we celebrate the feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Church teaches that she was conceived in her mother's womb without sin. You might say, that's impossible. Well, I'm going to talk about, for a couple of minutes, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had to be made of pure Achaia wood. There could not be any knots in it. It had to be pure 100%. Mary held the baby Jesus in her womb. She is the Ark of the Covenant in the New Testament. And you know what? Her womb was pure. She was born without original sin. You might not believe that, but that's okay. It's true anyway. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it's all about Jesus, you see. She was conceived without original sin in light of the cross. And the cross goes from the cross in 33 all the way down to Adam, and the other way all the way up to the time when Jesus will come again in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. There's a sweet little prayer that we pray. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. O the Blessed Virgin Mary is a beautiful, beautiful symbol of the Church. The Church was formed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We have a human and we have a divine. The Church, it's the beginning of the Church. The Immaculate Conception is the beginning of the Church. The Church with Mary, who was conceived immaculate, who welcomed Jesus into her womb. We have the beginning of the Church. Let's look at the 13th chapter of St. Luke. There were present at that season some that told Jesus of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but except you repent, it shall be likewise, you shall perish." We remember the same thing happened with Lazarus. They asked Jesus, who sinned? Who sinned? And Jesus said, this is not because of sin, but this was to manifest the glory of God. Oh yes, you might see someone that's very sick and you say, well, they've sinned. Don't you dare judge people. Don't you dare judge people. It's not in your ability to judge anyone. Because Jesus Christ died for our sins, and my sins and your sins. And we are innocent because of the innocent Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Oh, what about those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell? And kill them. Think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I say to you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does repent mean? It takes a 180-degree turnaround and go the other way. We need to teach people to repent of their sins, to repent of their selfishness. People like me, to repent of my selfishness, to repent of my sins. We're called to repent 180 degrees the other way. So just yesterday I said to the Lord, I am sorry for thinking what I'm thinking. I am sorry for what that means to you. Ask forgiveness. So we continue with the parable of the barren fig tree. Jesus spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. The fig tree represents Israel too. And he planted it in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit from it and didn't find any. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it just occupy land? And he answered and said to him, Lord, let it alone just for another year also, till I shall dig about it, and I shall manure it or dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, you should cut it down. I'm telling you, God is looking for people to bear fruit. You know, the fruit that will endure, John 15. We are not called to bear leaves. We're called to bear fruit. Fruit that will endure. And when you talk about fruit, you're talking about people. We need to be fruit bearers. And the scripture says fruit 12 times a year, that the experience of bearing fruit should be once a month, that we have a basket of people that we bring to the Lord, a basket of people that we bring to the Lord. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed down and could in no way lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You see, Jesus did it in a second. Jesus did it in a second. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Imagine being sick for 18 years, and the next second you are completely healed. What gratitude she must have had. What gratitude. What about me? What about you? Do you have gratitude for Jesus? Are you thankful for what he's done for you? You say, what has he done for me? He saved you by his blood. Are you filled with gratitude? I want to tell you, my life is not filled with gratitude. I take a lot for granted. And I ask the Lord today to change me, that I might be a man filled with gratitude. She glorified God, hallelujah, and I bet she was loud. Yes, because now she doesn't walk stooping over, she is erect. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which people ought to work, in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day.
And the Lord then answered him and said, "You hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to be watered? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom the devil Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. I tell you, it's the compassion of Jesus. It's the compassion of Jesus. The word compassion means calm passion, to suffer with. Jesus suffered with this woman and healed her in an instant. Glory to God. I wish I were in the room that day, because I'm sure that woman had shouts of joy. No longer was she bowed down. No longer was she bowed down in her body. She stood erect, and she must have been praising God out loud. Have you ever praised God out loud because He answered your prayers? You say, "I don't even know if God answered my prayers." Well, you know what? Have you prayed and you got an answer? And what do you do with it? You praise God for it. You praise God. We just don't pray for nothing. We pray because we expect God to do something by the power of the Holy Spirit. We just don't pray for nothing. You know, one person came to me and said, "I'm healed," and I doubt it. I said, "What do you think we pray for nothing? We prayed that you'd be healed, and you got healed. What are you going to do with it? Thank God for it. Thank God it's not us who do the healing. We do the praying, and Jesus does the healing." Let's continue. The parable of the mustard seed. Then said Jesus unto, "What is the kingdom of God like, and whereupon shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it became a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." In other words, the kingdom of God starts very small, but it goes into greatness. It starts small, and you know, you should have the faith, me too, of a mustard seed. I have a mustard seed plant right in this room, and oh, how small these seeds are. How small these seeds are. But yet the kingdom of God can be compared to that mustard seed, with a small beginning, but it wants to take over the earth. He wants to take over your heart. He wants to take over my heart. Does Jesus have your heart today? Does Jesus have your heart today? Let me ask you that question again. Does Jesus have your heart today? What have you given Him today? Are you grateful for what you have? I tell you, we go out on Saturday and we see people sleeping in doorways, and I have a nice bed. Are you grateful for what you have? You know, we can kind of think that we deserve all these things. Why is that person in the doorway and I have a bed? Oh God, forgive me for not being grateful for my bed. Forgive me, God. I need your forgiveness. And again Jesus said, "Whereunto shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." Yes, it starts off very small, and it ends up big. Oh, we need the kingdom to be manifested. As Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth in me as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me as it is in heaven. Oh yes, on the earth as it is in heaven. I tell you, God wants the kingdom to come, and that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants. But you see, it's up to you, it's up to me. Do we want what God wants? Are we willing to be fruit bearers? Are we willing to go out into the highways and the byways and catch people for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to tell people about the great name and person of Jesus the Christ? Are we willing? But you say, that's what Father Tom does. Father Tom is only one person. God needs you to do the same thing with your family, with your friends. You know, when a friend calls and pours out their guts to you, you need to say, well, let's pray because you've told me all these things. Let's pray for it and believe that God's going to do something. You do the believing. Don't worry about the person that poured out their guts to you. You do the believing. And he went through cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that are going to be saved? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The narrow gate is Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus Christ the Lord is the narrow gate. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. No one goes to the Father unless we go through Jesus. That's the only way we have access to the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son. When once the master of the house is up and he has shut the door, and you begin to stand from without and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I do not know you, and I do not know where you come from. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught, and we have taught in the streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I don't know you, and I don't know who you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. I tell you, God wants us to know him, as Eve knew Adam. That kind of knowledge, experiential knowledge. Oh yes, it's wonderful that we do these things in the name of Jesus. But God calls us to know him first. To know him first through the blood of Jesus. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. He's talking to the Jewish people. And they shall come from the east and the west, Gentiles, and from the north and the south, and they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Why weren't the Jewish people admitted into the kingdom the way God wanted? Because of lack of faith in Jesus Christ. Why do you heal on the Sabbath? Lack of faith. Lack of faith. The Galileans, why were they killed? Lack of faith. Lack of faith, no repentance. Oh, God wants his people to repent. God wants his people to know how much he loves them. Lack of faith. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. These are the Gentiles who believe in Jesus. And behold, those that are last, the Gentiles, will be first. And those that are first, the Jewish people, shall be last. But God is not finished with the country of Israel and with his Jewish people. God is not finished with them at all. Romans 10:11-12 talks about how at the end of time God will call the Jews to himself, and they themselves will believe in the Messiah. They themselves will be what happens to the Gentiles now. The Gentiles come into the presence of God. But the Jewish people, there are just a few of them. And you know what? Thank you, God, that there are a few of them. Thank you that at least some of them are being converted. Thank you, God, because our faith comes from the roots of the Jewish people. We are the wild olive tree that has been planted, put on the real olive tree. We are the wild olive branch grafted into the olive branch that was original. This is God. God doing these things. He wants that all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what he wants. He wants that all people would be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are you saved today? Were you baptized? And do you believe in Jesus? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved today? Oh yes, it is through the blood of Jesus that we are saved. It is through the cross of Jesus that we are saved. Are you saved today? That's my question to you. That's my question to you. And that same day there shall be certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart here, for Herod will kill you. And Jesus said unto them, go you and tell that fox Herod, behold, I cast out demons, devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I shall be perfected. That's the cross. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and that day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish outside of Jerusalem. Oh, yes. I remember when I was in Jerusalem and got the call that my mother died. I'll never forget what I said, that no prophet dies or no prophet suffers except in Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets, you stone them that are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you wouldn't come. Behold, your house is left into desolation, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. I know Jesus weeps over the Catholic Church, because how many Catholics really know him? How many Catholics have given their life to him? He weeps over the Protestant Church. How many Protestants really love him? How many have given their life to him? Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and it's those tears that brought salvation also, plus the cross, of course, the tears of Jesus, the tears of Jesus. There was a place in Jerusalem called Dominus Flavit. The Lord wept, and from there you can see the temple where it used to be. Now there are two mosques. Jesus wept there. Because why? How I longed to gather you under my wings as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't come. What about you today? He wants to gather you under his wings. Do you run to him? Yes, Lord, I want to be under your wings. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. Yes, Lord, I give you my life. Yes, Lord, I not only want to produce fruit, I want to produce fruit that will last. I want to invite people on Sunday, to the experience of the live nativity. We have it every year. The live nativity, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph will be there. The shepherds will be there.
and the kings will be there. And you know what else is going to be there? Live animals. So you're welcome to come. It's at 3 o'clock this Sunday. 3 o'clock this Sunday. You are invited. Bring the children, that they come to realize that Christmas is not about Santa, but Christmas is about Jesus Christ and His birth. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do need to hear from people because we need to pay October's bills. It is already December. We are way behind. So please help as the Lord leads. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.